Welcome back, interweb friends. Stop the movie, I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies, we make fun of them. Hollywood not disappointing this week with a terrible, terrible film. I'm Alex Dunbar, joined this week by Jack Estabrook.
Hello.
Joined also by Jack Estabrook's mustache.
Mustache.
Cody Wolf.
Hello.
And Andy Wolf, no relation.
No.
Our movie this week is the 1994, I'm already laughing just thinking about this movie, the 1994 Cindy, you can basically just call it the Cindy Crawford movie, Fair Game. We should clarify, we are not talking about the 2010 Sean Penn, Naomi Watts movie, Fair Game, which is a good film. This is the Cindy Crawford, William Baldwin crazy action film, Fair Game.
And by the way, I'm kind of upset that Brian's not here, because I really wanted to hear his Chris McDonald.
I know. Brian Muir's on assignment this weekend, and I really did want to hear that too. When I saw Christopher McDonald pop up, and then Brian said he couldn't be here, and I was like, oh.
Well, me too. I mean, when you see Cindy Crawford pop up, I'm hoping.
You popped up.
Well, and I'm hoping there's going to be some steamy exotic sex scene.
Exotic, like what?
You
were hoping it was kind of
exotic. Exotic.
That's a really specific request.
Erotic. I mean,
it has to be in a jungle. If this sex scene isn't in a jungle, I'm not interested.
If you're throwing her in a movie, she better get naked.
She has like coconuts on her boobs, and you know, a grass skirt.
Well, it didn't totally. Well,
that'd be awesome.
There's a level of disappointment.
But yeah. Not too much of a disappointment.
So let's jump right into this, because I call this movie Fair Game, aka Who Shot My Walkman? Which the movie starts off with an endless sequence of just Cindy Crawford jogging
in the sun.
In the sun.
Yep. Yep.
When something confusing happens, it's not clear. So
does a girl run into her? And it looks like a girl runs into her and then her Walkman explodes. I understand someone's supposed to have shot at her. But that's what it looks like.
And she is like, she seriously is like, who shot my Walkman? You know, like, and she's not concerned at all that this is, well, in a running trend in this theory, the bad guys are completely incompetent.
Yeah.
And don't manage to shoot a woman who's 2 feet away from them and not even concerned about the possibility of being shot. So she goes to the police station to say, hey, somebody just 187'd to my cassette tape player.
And somehow she has all her calls and faxes from her office routed into the interrogation room.
Which is, we should bring this up too. This movie's from 1994. Things are going on in this movie that you could barely do today in 2013.
Yeah, oh yeah, especially like, the bad guys, yeah.
It was not even on the radar for some of the things that are happening in this movie.
But we're
introduced to Billy Baldwin.
Who, like, takes down some crazy in the precinct who pulls...
Smoking hot.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Holy Jesus.
Hayek is his jilted ex-girlfriend.
Who... Yes, when she was really hot, by the
when
way.
When wasn't
hot.
She?
She yeah, still is, but she was really freaking
Selma
hot.
Selma Hayek then. Looks great in this movie. God.
Selma Hayek always looks
They should
great.
Have more her in
okay,
there.
Okay.
Only two scenes, for
okay,
Christ's
okay.
sake.
Okay.
Yeah. Why didn't she get naked?
Right. Selma Hayek. Stop the movie podcast. Selma Hayek, if you're listening.
Oh, boy.
Lord.
Well, I think we know who's about to get a fan club started, if you know what I mean.
There's already a fan club for Selma Hayek, so.
Yeah.
Beat me to that one.
He knows he's been a charter member.
Did you look into it?
No. I'm still working on the Robin Tooney one, so.
Well, you got her name right this time.
I know.
Well, all right.
Or
all right.
Kind of half right.
Step one. Yeah.
So we're introduced to Billy Baldwin and his girlfriend. They're breaking up, and there's all hectic craziness going on.
She starts freaking out on cop Billy Baldwin in the police station while everyone's, like, just cops are just standing by watching. And in the meantime of this, like, we got to describe the sequence, and it's hard to describe this without seeing it, but a prisoner who's being brought in is going for the gun. Like, Salma Hayek's distracting everyone, so a prisoner that's brought in is going for...
She's not distracting Billy Baldwin, though.
Yeah, this is the best part.
Because he's just watching it happen.
The best part is Billy Baldwin's watching it happen. He sees the
and
the
no
prisoner,
one else is.
The prisoner looking at the guard's gun.
Yeah.
And he just keeps going to Salma Hayek. He's going, shh.
Yeah, I know.
You're quiet. Instead of like, hey, he's going to grab
gonna
your
get
gun.
Gun. Yeah, just gonna...
Instead of saying shh to her, maybe he could have said like, hey, that guy's about to grab your gun and save everyone.
Yeah.
Shh, shh. So dumb.
Well, he did save everybody still by kicking the computer.
By kicking a computer and hitting the guy over the head with a keyboard.
By making things worse, like classic bad movie that we see in this show, a person makes things worse and then makes
them
better.
But that was the payoff of the joke, because computers are useful. Yeah.
I guess
the whole
it's
joke.
Useful for something after
you
all.
Laugh at that?
No.
Oh, all right. Maybe you didn't catch it.
I laughed
it was
a
funny moment.
Movie,
but...
It was over my head, I guess. I don't know.
And then Christopher McDonald,
comes in screaming.
With like, a mustache!
What was the other movie we... This is how many bad movies
he was in,
So far, he's
Terminal Velocity. Oh, he was in Terminal Velocity. Yeah. He was like in the last
Terminal
one. Okay,
Velocity,
he was in the last
this
movie.
This one, he only has two scenes. He's screaming in both of them.
Yeah,
he
everything
is.
He does, he shouts.
If anyone ever brings another prisoner in here, and what is something about
some bails bond?
He
bail
seriously
bond.
Says
oh, yeah,
something.
If anyone
like,
ever lets a bails bondman here with a gun again, you're on traffic duty for 2 weeks or something.
It really
I'm
was,
serious.
He's just like yelling cops, like, I have had enough of prisoners shooting guns inside this police station.
I draw the line there.
This has happened
before,
where
I draw the
basically.
Line.
And if this happens one more time.
If I've said you guys once, I've said it 1,000 times, don't let the criminals get guns.
Well, I love the set design in this station too. Did you know, it's just like
it's the smokiest.
Is it like a parking garage or something? I mean, it's like all
there's like an exhaust
cement
leak.
And yeah,
yeah. It's well, like, everyone. There's just a haze going through the entire police station.
Looks like in a parking garage
or a swamp. Yeah, it's like a parking garage built on a swamp.
Yeah. So then he goes into the interrogation room and talks to Cindy Crawford, who is
and there's a moment they look at each other and they you can tell they like each other.
Tell them to bang.
Well, yeah. And I was gonna say that Cindy Crawford's
very
subtle. I don't want to make fun of Cindy Crawford too much
because
she's not. I feel bad because she's not an actress, right. And I don't know why they put her in this movie. And they didn't just. This isn't even like Mariah Carey and Glitter,
right? They looked at other people first.
And she has a ton of dialogue.
Yeah.
Like she's delivering monster like amounts of exposition in this. Like at least in Glitter, they were like, oh boy,
she's
don't
sing half of it.
Yeah, let's have Mariah Carey talk as little as possible. In this, you could really. I mean, Cindy Crawford is talking in every scene, and it gets worse and worse. Monotone is not
monotone,
even
oh my God.
The word for it.
There's a couple moments in the car when we get there.
Yeah.
Rough.
Yeah. And also some great, I don't know if anybody saw this in the first scene with Wayne Baldwin, but Cindy Crawford is wearing a pair of like middle-aged mom shorts. Did anyone see that?
Yes.
Like they're the most unflattering shorts she possibly, and this is Cindy Crawford. Arguably the most beautiful woman in the world at this time, and she has on like soccer mom shorts.
Yeah.
Like what is
yep. And not even she's pulling it off.
Terrible. And Cindy Crawford then explains to William Baldwin that the murder attempt on her was so bad that she
doesn't even think that she's not even sure if she was actually
shot.
Being shot
was the target. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which if
like all that, I know is a window broke and then
a window broke and my Walkman is damaged. Somewhere that hitman should be like, oh God.
So then there's a very important callback here. I don't know if you caught that callback. It sets up the whole thing where the joke is, what do you call 50 lawyers at the bottom of the sea? A good start.
Oh yeah,
that's a call. That's common. That's a callback.
I didn't even think of that.
They didn't catch
it.
Oh yeah,
like the dumbest joke.
I know, but
ever.
At the end, I'm like, oh, here it is.
Yeah.
They're on a boat.
I didn't even think of that.
Well, not even there. He follows up on a joke like 2 seconds from now too, where because she says he does this joke. Well, you know, what do you call 50 lawyers at the bottom of the ocean? A good start. And then like 2 seconds later, she leaves the room, and he gets another call for her. And he answers the phone.
In
he's
the
like,
street.
I don't know where
she's
she
the
is.
The ocean.
And they're like, where is she? And she goes, check to bottom of the ocean. And he hangs up. I was like,
why is the person in the call be like, what?
Yeah.
What are you telling me?
Yeah. Like, that was the person in the call. Like, did a police officer just tell me he killed her? So now, and we're going to, I don't know. We got to wait till we get to the end to fully talk about this, but.
Right, so.
Well, I just want to mention, too, she goes back to her office.
Right.
Yeah.
Where Dan Hedaya.
Dan Hedaya. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Is in, like, apparently he had more scenes, but this is, like, his one scene in the movie. But I thought it was funny because he said, at one point he said they closed the case a fortnight ago.
Who uses that term?
Fortnite in America.
What's really, a fortnight?
I had like a note on my page.
Since last this case we spoke.
Did we close it a fortnight ago or was it many moons ago?
As the crow flies.
Many winters ago.
And he doesn't say it to be funny.
It was four Thor beards ago.
Yeah, it was. No, it wasn't even played as like a joke.
It wasn't, because she's like, yeah. I laugh like Fortnite.
Like she didn't even stop and say Fortnite.
Yeah.
So I guess, did anybody catch, I didn't catch what this was. He was the lawyer for somebody?
He's the lawyer for somebody that they bring up later on.
But they didn't establish it really well there. I didn't know what
they don't.
I thought he was a partner with her at first.
So did I. They're like in the same office.
Yeah, he's in there already.
He's in there.
That's true. I didn't know if it was her office. She walks in, he's there. Then it's like she's trying to make a deal with him. It's kind of like the lawyers talking without their clients present. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of end on some compromise, or rolls his eyes, and he leaves the office, and then she sits down at the desk. So it's like, wait a minute, I thought this was his office.
I thought they were sharing an office as partners.
Right, this is what my brain came up with.
So when they started fighting about a case, I was like, wait, I thought they were partners.
As a coping mechanism, this is what my brain came up with. I don't know if this is right or not, but that they were both attorneys working on a divorce case.
Right, yes.
Either side of a divorce case.
Right. Yeah.
And that they were contesting assets from this divorce case. And some of that is just me piecing things together.
To
they don't
together.
Make it clear that that's what's happening.
Now, does this case have anything... Didn't they mention a boat or something?
Does this
have anything to do with...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I have no idea what's going on.
In a crazy way.
Because he said, but she's going to bring up charges from the waterway police there.
Maritime law.
So,
I want to do
or the boat, the Tortuga, whatever. They brought it up.
Yeah, because she says something like, "Hey, wait a second, you're trying to hide assets in this boat," and he's like, "Hey, what are you gonna do?" And then I got to do this line read, I'm gonna read it as Cindy Crawford reads it in the movie. "Listen, Hollenbach, the law of the sea is simple, and federal." And I'm like, what? I'm like, what are you talking about? A, what are you talking about? And B, like,
yarg, the law of the sea.
Were they changing the cue cards as you were reading it, Cindy?
You got me now.
We've got two Fortnites to close this case.
I felt bad for Dan. Dan Hedaya had to be a bigger part of this movie. I mean,
I was reading, he had more scenes, but they just cut him out.
They must have been scenes.
Well, yeah, because they didn't explain it. That was the most piss poor way to explain that whole plot line.
Well, and when this boat comes back into the movie,
and it's like an oil tanker. I was picturing a yacht.
I know, right? Yeah.
I was like, okay, so some rich guys
like a fishing boat.
Wait,
you know?
But I don't think it is the. No, here's the crazy part. I don't think it is that tanker.
Really?
I think it's the boat that was parked next to the tank. This is mind expanding stuff.
Did it say Tortuga on the?
Tortuga.
Did it on the tanker?
On the boat? I think so. Yeah.
I thought they were talking, but I thought the boat. The question of the divorce case was a smaller boat that
the
was
raft?
Like. No, like the smaller yacht
was
kind
a yacht
of boat.
Part next to it?
I thought there was a boat part next to the tanker.
I suppose there could be two boats called Tortuga.
I wasn't paying
Tortuga
close attention.
Uno and Tortuga Dos.
This is a great. By the way, the fact that we're disagreeing on this storyline makes no.
Yeah, I guess
absolutely. There is no rational sense
time
in
on
this.
That.
All right. So whatever. She's like, okay, you're not declaring assets on this boat. I'm going after you. Dan Hedaya gets mad and walks out of the office and the movie.
Yeah. I'm leaving this movie.
Yeah. At this point, from this point on in the movie, if you understand what's going on, you have to be like an MIT, like,
it kicks into high gear.
It does.
I don't think, like, because now Billy Baldwin, doesn't he go to her?
I kind of miss this part. She goes home, and for some reason, he's got to go to her house. What was the reason?
She didn't sign the form. And Christopher McDonald's like,
"We need this signed.
If this isn't signed
now.
By tomorrow, you're on the streets, Baldwin." You know, and so he's like, "Okay, all right." You know,
so he shows up in a station wagon.
Yes.
And Cindy Crawford's in her swanky apartment, which is this, you know,
with her kitty cat.
I was waiting for someone to drown her in a.
She basically she fills this creepy guy wearing a leather jacket pulls up and is like watching her from across a pond or a river or a lake, and the house is on the water, and Cindy Crawford's slow motion pouring like a saucer of milk for a cat. Then she goes out on the porch and she's all like, oh, she takes her shoes off, she's out on the porch, and then she looks at the cat and she says, "Let's watch the news," or something like that. And then she picks up the remote control and turns on the TV and it explodes.
And
she flies through the air.
And by the way, so this hitman is watching this whole thing going on. She's standing on a completely open porch. He's watching it with a gun, not shooting her.
Exactly.
Not shooting her. He's like, you know what? She's standing on the porch, but I really want to see how that TV bomb turns out. So I'm going to not shoot her.
So what's more efficient?
Yeah.
TV bomb or just a sniper rifle?
Because if I just shoot her now, I'm never going to get to see that TV bomb go off.
I thought it was worth it. That was ridiculous.
I mean, because so, they're not worried about it making it look like an accident, because they already tried to shoot her on the streets.
Right.
Right.
So they're not worried about making it look like an accident.
So why,
so why not just go to her house? They knew where she was. He broke in. Where did the TV blow up? Why not just stand in the corner and go, boop, boop, and then walk out?
I have no idea. And she has no idea, nor do we as the audience have any idea that she's in danger or why she's in danger or what she's connected to.
So Billy Baldwin sees the explosion.
Yep. Jumps slow-mo.
And, well, this is my favorite part. She flies out of the apartment into the
floor. Literally.
This bad guy starts shooting at him. He runs and jumps slow-mo, firing his gun through the air as he falls into the pool.
This is crazy.
Why did he have to jump in the pool?
Cover fire. He had to cover his own.
Couldn't he shoot from where he was? He had to jump.
Why would... Yeah, this would be that, like... If
seriously
Andy,
diminishes your accuracy.
If Andy and I are shooting guns at each other and I'm like, I'm not just going to shoot a gun at you. I'm going to be jumping into a pool with my gun as I shoot at you instead of just taking cover and shooting at you. It makes
behind the car I just got out of.
So crazy. I this is the point where I started getting mad at this movie, where I'm like, if this is going to be this way for like another hour, I don't know if I can take it. And the bad guy, can we talk about the technology? The bad guys, their air card is fantastic. Notice that?
Yeah.
I mean, this night they're doing Google Earth in 1994. From the car.
Yeah, they're
tapping accessing phones like abduction.
They're not even tapping; they're just on the phone. They're just
accessing records.
They're everywhere. Yeah. Anything you want.
They even
know
the size of her pantyhose. You said.
Yeah.
So that's incredible.
I know. I mean, I will say this movie was an eerie preview of what Google Earth was going to become, and like Street View and like stuff like that. And there's also a funny line when so William Baldwin, Billy Baldwin, as I call him, pulls Cindy Crawford out of the water, and it's just a great quote where he just says to her, "Whoever's after you, they're real pros." And I'm like, really? What would we do to believe that?
They successfully did nothing but blow up a house, drawing massive amounts of attention to themselves.
They tried to kill her twice and they failed.
Yeah,
so far
they have blown up a Walkman, a TV, and maybe a cat. That's it.
Now I think about it, they actually tried to kill her before she even threatened to do the maritime law thing.
Yeah.
So why were they're already trying to kill her before there was even a threat to them?
I know.
It might have just been a random drive-by.
I just thought about that, yeah. She wasn't even a threat yet, and they're like, gotta kill her.
Well, but she's still, gotta go. She's also still not even a threat, because she doesn't have any idea, like, about this boat.
You know how long it'd take to get charges filed on this maritime law thing?
You know what Dan Hedaya could have done? And actually, the movie would have stopped here, been like, ah, okay, I'll give you like $100,000.
Right, was well, nothing.
I'm
right,
sorry,
right.
That's it. Roll credits.
Right, because she just wanted him to settle this divorce.
He wanted to settle this divorce. He could have seriously been like, ah, here's $100,000.
Right. And later on, the guy's
about to make what $900 million.
Right,
but he couldn't offer up like $200,000 to get her off
the
bat.
Later on, they offer
Billy Baldwin money,
$500,000, so just to hand over the lawyer.
Well, think about how much they would have had to pay. Think about how much they paid for the TV bomb and all this stuff and like the wireless internet in 1994. Setup. I mean, but no, we can't settle this divorce case. It's way simpler for us to do street level internet mapping in 1994 than to pay some money. So now William Baldwin is like, this is.
They got her. Take her to a safe house.
One of my favorite things. They take her to the safe house. And there's two or three cops? I can't remember now.
I guess
two and Billy Baldwin.
There's two cops, Billy Baldwin and this girl, and they're in like just some seedy like hotel or something.
Yeah.
And
which is, by the way, just about as seedy as the police station is.
It's a former drug house.
It looks like they shot it in a real drug house that was currently in use.
So the two cops are arguing about who's gonna pay for the pizza.
Yeah, she orders a pizza.
Oh my
and
god!
And that's how they trace her.
And Cindy Crawford says, "I'll buy the pizza. Go, you know, order it from this place. I have an account there." So they order the pizza using her name and then have it delivered.
Right.
Give them the address of the safe house.
And use her credit
card. What city are they in? Oh, they're in Miami or something.
Yeah, they're in Miami. Yeah.
Which, by the way, for all of the crazy, impossible 1994 technologies in this movie, that really would have been a problem in 94. Well, yeah, that actually could have been tracked in 94.
Plus you give him the address of the safe house.
Yeah.
Well, I love it because the second time they do it, even the bad guy's like, these guys are idiots.
Yeah.
It's like, no shit. Yeah.
But it's funny because 2 seconds before that, I said it. Like, what are you doing?
You're idiots.
And the bad guy's like, what are you doing this?
So the Russian guys
want to get caught. I love the look on the actors who are playing the cops' faces because they're like, oh, awesome.
Yeah.
She's going to pay for the pizza.
Pizza party.
Yeah. Nice. I didn't have to pay out, shell out that $7.
So the Russians intercept and murder the pizza delivery boy in the middle of the street.
Yes.
Yep.
And then deliver the pizza to the door.
While Billy Baldwin's taking a shower.
While Billy Baldwin's taking a shower. Now, meantime,
why is he taking a
shower? She like infiltrates the building, and now they're looking for. Well, we have some odd product placement for Domino's Pizza. Can we just say this?
Oh, is that a Domino's?
No, it wasn't Domino's, though. But he says because the pizza's late because of course it's not the real delivery boy. The delivery boy is intercepted, murdered, and the Russians deliver the pizza.
Well,
okay?
They say Dominic's or Domino's.
So he opens the door, and the guy says like some snide comment. He says, "If you were Domino's, you would have been here 20 minutes ago." And she says, "But if it's for Domino's, you'd still be alive." And she shoots him. And I was like, did Domino's Pizza, like, pay for that? Like, Domino's will keep you alive thing?
90s catchphrases. What? Can't get enough of them. Yeah.
I don't know. And then,
well, yeah, these guys, they have the heat sensor.
And now,
they're looking through the wall. I don't know if, I guess it's possible nowadays, but the heat.
He's
using some infrared camera to see heat, and you could see the heat signature, the peeing cop.
Yeah, so it's all stupid. You could see his urine stream going up.
Like, they're going, how many cops are in the building? She's on the first floor. She's on the third floor. We got one cop in the shower. It's William Baldwin. We've got a cop in the bathroom.
William Baldwin just turns the water on cold, and all of a sudden he totally disappears. It's like his body heat was totally gone from the cold water. He's gone. I can't see him.
It takes 20 minutes for him to reappear again.
It's either no temperature or body temperature. Right, that's it.
They basically have predator vision. Right? You know, they're like, quick, cover yourself in mud. They can't see you at all. God.
So she goes. They kill the R2 guys.
It wasn't even that he turned down the cold water, though. It was someone flushed the toilet.
Flushed the toilet, right.
That's right. That's
it
right.
It was cold.
So then when the first cop gets shot after the Domino's statement, the second cop runs out of the bathroom and he gets shot. And as he falls, he fires like up in the air because he's like jerking because he's just been shot or whatever. And he hits the ground and the bullet flies through the floor, the ceiling, which is the floor of the shower. And that's how Billy Baldwin knows that something's wrong because
the funny part is he's not totally freaked out. Like, there's part of him who's like, hey,
taking a shower here.
Quit shooting at me. Yeah. You know, wait a minute, maybe something's wrong.
It's a great moment because they can't see him on the heat sensor.
Yeah.
So the bad guy's down the hallway and he's like, where is he? What is he trying to, like, and he's like, I can't see him. I can't see him. All of a sudden, like, his body temperature is all of a sudden rises. He's like, he's in Ohio!
Pop, pop.
Really?
Yeah.
He got really hot all of a sudden.
Yeah.
This is the adrenaline. The fear.
So Billy Baldwin takes out most of the bad guys.
Most.
Like,
takes
out
all.
I think
he takes them all out. And they
except
jump out
the chick, yeah.
Well, and there's this other funny moment when the bad guy, like in the car with the heat vision, is talking to the other bad guys by walkie-talkie. He's like, get out of there. The cops are going to be here soon. I'm like, really? You killed the pizza delivery person in the middle of the street. There's been gunshots coming out of here. Like, at some point, probably the cops will show
three
up.
Cops.
Yeah.
Oh, then one of our first really dry moments from Cindy Crawford in that car. She's like, the cops go, she's kind of like, those are the cops. We'll be safe with them.
That's seriously how, that's how the line delivery is.
What are you doing?
Is.
I know.
It's like,
grown.
Well, and this is where I just started feeling bad for her. I'm like,
I'm sorry, I got to bring this up. I just read this line. I forgot I wrote it down. When they kill, this is another 90s catchphrase thing. When they kill the pizza boy, I don't know if you remember this. They stop the pizza boy in the middle of the street. And he gets out of the car. He goes, hey, move your cars. My pizzas are getting cold. And the Russian guy goes, yeah, and so are you. Yeah. And he shoots him.
Yeah.
I just had to bring that up.
Yeah. So, when, like...
That's the best you could come up with in that moment.
And so now they're, like... They're on the run. Have we gotten the scene in the parking garage yet?
Oh, okay. I think
this
up.
Is after. Because they stopped to make the phone call.
Yeah, this is here. Because he decides not to stop with, you know, and go back with the police because he can't trust the police. So he calls his police friend and says... We need the FBI. Oh, he calls first.
Chris
he calls
McDonald.
Chris McDonald.
Yes.
And he's like, "We need the FBI."
There's a great Chris McDonald screaming moment there. Yeah, he's like,
"You're fired!" Or something. I can't remember. He's like, "Yeah," and I'm like, "If you don't bring her here, you're fired!"
Screaming from the first time you see him till the last time.
It stopped even making sense. It was just noise was coming out of
him. He's talking to Chris McDonald, and yeah, he's like, "If you don't bring her here now, you're fired!" Blah blah blah. And the other guy grabs the phone. He's like, "Yeah, I'll get the FBI there." And now, So they decide to meet in this parking garage, which. There's a lot of parking garages in the movies.
Of course, you're being monitored on this phone.
Yeah, of course.
By the Russians.
So his friend calls in the FBI, or who he thinks is the FBI. I don't know how it's not the FBI. Who did he call?
I don't know. This is never explained.
I guess
either.
They got intercepted. Did they intercept the call? Or
they got
their fake FBI agent in there with full badge and everything before the real one came?
Well, that leads to one of my favorite things, too. But, yeah. So they go in the parking garage, and this guy gets out. I think there's like two or three cars, and where the guy gets out, and Billy Baldwin's like, "I have to see your ID, or I'm not going with you." And he pulls out his badge, or whatever, and shows him. And Billy Baldwin believes he's an FBI agent, so he gives him the girl, or him and the girl get in the back of one car, and his friend and another FBI agent get in the other car. And they're driving through the parking garage, and the FBI agent in his friend's car shoots his friend, and he sees in the rearview mirror that his friend. Is dead in the passenger seat.
They drive the dead partner right so that they drive it right past it.
They went two different ways or something.
So that William Baldwin, if he wasn't suspicious about this, is like, "Huh, there's my dead partner." I guess you guys are.
Doesn't his toupee fly off when he gets shot too?
He grabbed him and tore his toupee off. I don't know. Is that? I guess so. He would know he was. I don't know what that was about.
I don't know. I think it was just a subtle joke that was inappropriately placed.
Again. If you want her dead, why not just say, "Oh, here you are, bam, bam," shoot everybody in the parking garage, and why you put them in cars and driving away? And
I know, it makes no sense.
I mean, if I'm after you and these guys bring you to me, I'm like, "Oh, okay, oh, cool, please," bam, 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 you're all dead. Yeah, all right, problem solved.
She's sitting in a car with the bad guys who have guns, and they don't kill her.
And they just smile at her.
Yeah, so, like, "How you doing?"
I'm smiling.
Billy Baldwin sees his dead friend, and he just starts shooting everybody. Somehow it takes him, like, a full clip to kill everybody in the car. There's, like, two people in the car, and it takes him, like, a full clip.
And let's say with this look on his face as he's killing the driver of the car. It's psychotic.
Yes.
So they take the car, and they leave. And it's just funny because he's going, "I did everything I was supposed to do. I checked his IDs. Those guys are perfect," or something like that. I was like,
but not before Cindy Crawford gets
a really dry line.
Well, she gets to have an impromptu anti-spanking PSA in the middle of this. Anyone
notice
that?
Oh, yeah, that was a weird ass thing too, wasn't it?
Yeah, she has this whole thing when they're going into the parking garage with this mom spanking a kid, and Cindy Crawford wants to do something about it. My mom's like, "Hey, we got bigger fish to fry right now. We've got people trying to kill you."
On the way out, though, she goes up and just roundhouses her.
Yeah, she's like, "Hey, quit spanking your kid." I'm like,
punches her.
I was like, "What is going? Why?"
It's a bizarre moment.
It's so weird.
And I was expecting it, too, because I was like, at some point, she's going to come back and punch that woman.
Then they get in the car. They both have the worst freaking acting. He's, like, hitting a steering wheel, like, "Oh, oh."
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, "What happened back there?"
Well, it's almost
freaked out? Like, "Oh my God, what the hell happened?" You know,
I felt like in this movie, because Cindy Crawford is so.
Let's talk about this.
I just got my friend killed. Yeah. It's not your fault.
Oh, and there's a great line. And he's like, "And that wasn't the FBI."
Right.
Like, really?
Like, did that out?
Did that need to be said? Right. Like, but I felt like when they were shooting this, because Cindy Crawford is so out of her element, she's, you know, having such a hard time acting, that I don't know if it was the director or William Baldwin, but somewhere in there the decision was made to have William Baldwin, he was going to act as hard as he could in every moment. I am going to act it 150%. I am acting all the time. And so he's trying to, like, I don't carry the weight or something, but it makes it even more bizarre because he's like a spaz and she's Stalloning it, essentially.
Right. So then he goes, he says, "All right, I know a good hotel."
They check into a hotel.
It's big and the staff won't remember faces.
"Hey, you got a credit card?"
And now
this is great.
Yes.
Now here's the moment. Even the bad guys, there's a line that's where the bad guys go, "Idiots! They used the credit card again."
Not to mention they're standing there like soaked in water and blood.
He says it's a big hotel. They won't remember faces. And it cuts to him at the desk. He's got a huge cut on his face. I'm like, I think they're going to remember that face.
They're all marked up.
And bloody and covered in water.
The only way that my mind could make sense of this movie, the coping mechanism my mind had to have, is that William Baldwin's character was some kind of like a Luddite who had never used a computer or anything with electricity.
It's funny because in the next scene, they go up to the hotel room and he gets a call from the terrorist or KGB or whoever he is saying, oh, if you give me the girl, I'll give you $500,000 or whatever. And he goes, he says something, or the KGB agent says like, oh, we've got these computers, we can track you wherever you are or whatever. Yeah. And he goes, William Baldwin goes, that's how the IDs were so perfect. Computers.
Literally, that's what he says. Yeah. Son of a bitch.
Darn computers. Yeah.
And
by the way, another great bad movie point where this happens. Good thing the bad guys called to let them know they were coming to the hotel. Because William Baldwin and Cindy Crawford would have never had any idea. But luckily the bad guys called ahead just to let you know. I don't know if you guys knew that we knew, but we totally
know. We know what room you're in.
So now, who are the idiots in this situation?
I know.
That's an odd question to be asked, I think. But it needs to be.
This scene I actually found funny, though, because... He hangs up the phone.
He calls a gas station.
He hangs up the phone and he decides...
Dials at random.
He decides, okay, I want to say more to this guy. Yeah. So he picks the phone up, just dials some number, and like a convenience store guy picks up because he knows that the phone is tapped. He finally gets this.
That's funny.
Because like abduction, they've tapped every phone magically.
Yeah, the convenience store guy picks up the phone. He's like, how can I help you? And Billy Baldwin's like, I'm going to find you. I'm going to kill you. He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, you can't do this. You leave her alone. And then the KGB guy comes on the line. It was just like a funny... That was actually a funny scene.
That scene is genuinely funny.
The guy's like, hey, after last night. He's like,
come on down here.
It's well written. It's funny with this convenience store clerk and unknowing through. It was like an oasis in a desert of this genuinely funny scene. And the actor who plays that convenience store clerk is hilarious.
He's the best in the whole movie.
Yeah. I wish I'd seen more of that guy. So now, things just... There's so many landlines in this movie. I know it's from 94, but like you're just like...
There were cell phones then, weren't there?
If you believe Glitter, there were cell phones in 1981, and everyone was on them. There were some cell phone service.
Yeah, there was.
But
it was decent.
It's just funny to see, because the bad guys seem to have, or characters seem to have cell phones when they need to have a cell phone, but when it's not convenient.
Yeah, because they have a cell phone.
Yeah.
Because because after this, they escape from the hotel.
Yeah, isn't there a point where the Russians use their magic computers to like lock every door in the hotel?
They tell them, we're coming to get you. And they lock all the doors. And then Billy Baldwin just shoots the lock and gets out. Again, if they locked the doors and didn't tell them they locked the doors, they could have just kept them
And
there.
Now they're tracking a cell phone, so Billy Baldwin throws it in a pig trailer.
Well, yeah, so they have the cell phone.
Oh, that's right, they did have one.
They did have the cell phone. And they're driving along and they stop at a gas station. And there's a pig trailer next to him, and he puts it in the pig trailer, and there goes separate directions. So they're tracking the cell phone, but they're actually tracking the pig trailer.
So for once, they guess.
For once, there was an actual. He did something intelligent and realized he's being tracked.
Computers, I'll outwit them.
Yeah.
So then where'd they go from
But it
there?
Doesn't matter, because then the Russians decide, well, you know what? He's got an anti-theft. He's got a LoJack on his car.
Right, yeah.
And did they have those in 94?
They did. Well...
They put a tracker on, didn't they?
No, he said, American anti-theft vehicle, anti-theft device. We can track that or something like that.
It was like a LoJack.
I know I can't remember where we're going now.
Well, then... Somehow they have to ditch. Maybe we're jumping ahead, but they had to ditch.
Oh, they go to. Okay.
That's just where my notes are.
They go to that computer store.
Oh, the computer store. Yes, that's right. And this is the best acting Cindy Crawford did in the whole movie.
Cindy Crawford, yeah.
Because she walked in and had to be sexy. And you know what? She did a damn good job.
In this scene, she's not bad. Yeah.
It's the best acting she did. She came in like that little Cindy Crawford sexy look. And actually, the dialogue wasn't too bad.
So, they actually decide to figure out why they're being chased.
It's got to be one of her clients.
One of her cases.
Which, by the way, she's wondering the same thing the audience is wondering at this point. Why are these guys trying to kill me? Why do they keep calling me, telling me they're trying to kill me? So we go to the internet store.
Exactly. Because it's 1994, they have to go to a computer store to use the internet so she can look up her... her cases. Somehow she hacks into her own computer.
And of course, the guy's playing with his joystick.
Yeah, he goes, she's like, oh, what are you doing?
I'm playing with my joystick.
Fiddling with my joystick. He's like, some geeky guy who's just
whatever. Okay.
Yeah. Joke. So basically, somehow she learns that this has something to do
with a Cuban client.
She looked through all her files and found one client just that I guess had a Russian name or she knew because
he was Cuban, which is the connection to William, the Soviet Union.
Right. Because William Baldwin's also talking with his cousin
who works in forensics,
who's like, I think this bullet is Russian. Right. Yeah. So somehow between the cousin and then Cindy Crawford's like green screen computer access, she's like, oh, I do have this one client who has some connection to Russia. And
now we find out that they're being chased by the KG used to be.
That's right.
Nice reference.
That's very nice. They were big. In 94.
It is.
That's why when I looked at the back of this box and I saw it was a movie involving the KGB and it had Christopher McDonald in it, I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
I'm watching that movie again.
This is great. So have we gotten to the point where they figure that they have to get into a different car?
Yeah, well, now they leave the computer sports store. Down.
Like they're driving, like the radiator explodes, and they just call it a
tow truck. I can't remember how, but the Russians figured out they were at that computer store. Oh, she accessed her computer.
Yeah,
because they trace it.
So they went there and they beat down the poor computer geeks who didn't know anything about it. They beat the shit out of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think they found anything out about it. They didn't find anything out.
I don't even think they cut back to that. So you don't know what happened to them.
Like, why do that? Because you know what they're looking at. You know who they are.
Or did he shoot? No, didn't he shoot him?
He might have shot him.
He pulled the gun and it went bang and then they went cut to the radiator like blowing up. I wonder if they insinuated they shot the guy.
Yeah, there is so much in this movie.
The poor bastard. He got a kiss from Cindy Crawford. He's dead like 2 hours later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two hours is more like 2 minutes.
He may be dead. There's so much of this movie you can just fill in on your own and just sort of decide for yourself how you think it should go.
That's when the radiator broke and they stopped and called a tow truck and Cindy Crawford had to get out of that damn Tesla shirt, whatever it was.
It was a Tesla shirt.
Triumph.
She was wearing a Triumph
shirt.
Okay.
She had to get out of a Triumph shirt for some reason.
Yeah.
So she had which thank God she did. Yeah. Nice little side boob shot.
She didn't
like
their new single, so she had to take out the shirt.
Yeah. And
I missed this because I wasn't paying attention.
You missed the side boob shot?
I wasn't paying attention.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, as a Cindy Crawford fan, you're waiting for that.
So it ends up, the tow truck shows up, but the bad guys also show up. And
that sounds like you just wrote like on the back of a box or something.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
The tow truck showed up. Unfortunately, the bad guys did too.
Well, I understand, they discover the tracking device under the car.
Damn that low jack! But at that same point.
But then, literally 4 seconds later, the bad guys show up. So why even?
It's not like they
discover it and then they could run away or whatever. Right. It's like, we're being tracked. There they are.
Yeah.
So she hops in the tow truck. She's driving the tow truck. Dragging a Jeep Cherokee, yet is outrunning all these Russian guys.
And it's the best line of the movie there, where the Russian guy says to the other guy, she's a woman driving, catch her!
And she's driving a tow truck! Truck pulling another car, and she is killing them.
She's a woman!
She's a woman, you can catch her!
Incompetent movie bad guys.
And of course, Billy Baldwin's climbing all over the outside of the tow truck, the car that's being towed. He's shooting left and right.
And I was totally checked out this way. I couldn't tell.
Every five minutes, you hear a car honk, and it's the same horn sound effect reused over and over again.
This is when I totally checked out at this point. The rest of it was
kind
of like...
you held on this long. Well,
I really checked out.
Well, but much like Terminal Velocity, they pull off one very cool stunt.
Absolutely.
In this, where the car that they're towing catches on fire, and using the tow truck, they swing the burning car so that it crashes into the... it means nothing. Yeah, you don't care about any of these characters.
Did he have like an RPG or something?
I think he did.
Yeah, he was about to fire it.
And then, of course, what that guy's thinking. He's like, hold on, I got to wait for someone to yell rocket.
Right. Yep.
Then I can shoot it.
And with Cindy Crawford's impeccable driving skills, she swung it around and perfectly timed it and perfectly got the exact spot.
It's a great stunt.
And then the car blows up.
A terrible movie.
Yeah.
It is.
Some stunt coordinator somewhere deserves a lot of credit.
Isn't she like flabbergasted the car blew up too. Like once the car blows up, I remember her being like, "What happened?"
She pulled this up and then she killed
the guy with it.
Like she didn't think that was gonna happen. She's like, "I meant to crush him, not blow him up."
So now all of a sudden she escapes Billy Baldwin.
Oh yeah, now some great acting here. I'm going.
And then she handcuffs himself to her.
Yeah.
Which doesn't add up to anything because she just breaks out.
Right, because the next scene he shoots him off. Well, and then she runs away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the very next scene is like, I don't have the key. And she pushes him and runs away. Well, yeah. That was freaking stupid. Why'd you put that in the damn movie?
So she hops on a train and he's chasing her. He's racing a train.
With his car.
And then, I just want to jump right to the end because the whole thing was stupid and then it made me laugh at the end because it's like, is he going to be able to jump off of a moving car into the train to, you know, so they don't get separated? So he jumps off and we go into the train, makes it. His car then hits a crossing sign and for no clear reason explodes. Whoa. Like, yep. I mean, like a bomb went off. Like, it hit a crossing
and
sign.
And the train just keeps on going.
Yeah, the train's like, well, that's weird.
Huge explosion, keep going.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Wow. I'm sure it's not one of our cars. No, yeah. Don't check.
No,
yeah.
No, keep going.
And this has all been a buildup for me. And one of the reasons we had to do this episode is what happens next.
Holy crap.
So Cindy Crawford and William Baldwin start getting it on the train.
Yeah.
And that 90s tight shot.
I told you, it was a total 90s sex scene. It's like the blue light
tight shots and the music.
Yeah, guitar riffs.
Sleazy.
But you're getting some good shots here.
You are.
And that is all Cindy right there.
But then there's like a shot, like a full shot of the back of him and like... See,
no, wait, we're not there yet. Wait. Yeah. We're getting there.
How far
we're working on the other parts.
Oh, man.
You want to go through this step by step?
Yeah, so some nice shots in this. Nice cinematography.
I just like to make a note, by the way. Just moments ago, Andy told us he checked out for the rest of the movie at this point.
I came back.
Apparently, he checked back in.
This caught my attention all of a sudden. I heard that guitar riff. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Something's going on.
But you see more naked William Baldwin in this scene than you do Cindy Crawford. That's my problem.
It's a great part though when she unbuttons his pants and pulls out from inside his junk. I guess she pulls out a pistol.
Well, that's coming up.
I'm pulling your pistol out.
Yeah. It did seem to be inside his underwear.
Yeah, she pulled it right up.
Yeah, it was not like tucked into his pants.
It's all the way in.
Yeah.
Is that a pistol? It's right up
against his junk.
Oh, it's a pistol.
What the hell? It's got a chafe.
Yeah.
Yeah, with all that running and jumping in the train, how'd that must have freaking hurt. Yeah. Man.
Oh, yeah. What if it went off?
But then bad guys jump from helicopter. Oh, we're not there yet.
Well, no, we are, but you can't describe because we got to talk about this. In Red Dawn, okay, so then...
In many movies.
And in several movies. So in... Well, the time... So William Baldwin and Cindy Crawford start having sex on the train, and the bad guys are now somehow onto the fact that they're on the train. If we go back...
Oh, they have the infrared. That's how...
They got the infrared, so they know. Flashback to our Red Dawn episode when Thor and some girl are about to get it on. And Andy very upset that the South Korean sniper or military guy didn't wait for Thor and the girl to get it on before killing him. Flash forward, fair game. The bad guys, the Russian guys, are on the train. A guy is about to shoot them both.
It's actually Kane Hodder.
Is it Kane?
Yeah, it's
really?
Kane Hodder.
It is from Friday the 13th.
Now you see this. Really disturbing shot from Kane Hodder's point of view of Billy Baldwin's hairy ass. You got a Cindy Crawford movie. You're showing Billy Baldwin's hairy ass.
Well, and he's
got a toy shot of the red mark on his ass.
He's got the laser sight. And then the character goes, hold on.
Wait a minute.
I want to see how this plays out.
He smiles and lets off the trigger.
I have a note. I said, a guy pulled an Andy. The bad guys pulled an Andy and waited for the sex scene to continue.
He
before
trigger. He has a little smile like, oh, yeah. I got to watch a little bit of this.
This is finally bad guys do what Andy Wolf has been asking for.
I didn't even catch it was Kane Hodder, though, because I was so disturbed by the... other visuals.
And then and this is where I started to check out. I don't like
Oh, I was thinking was it's too bad they weren't doing it in the caboose.
What?
Wow. Wow. You've been holding that one for a while, haven't you?
thought about that this morning.
You did. You saved that one. I like that. Wow.
He's so proud of him.
Saved, yeah, you saved that one up.
I'm about to get the right timing on there. That's it.
We're done, folks. Yep. Thanks for listening.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Well, there's another reason, too, to say that, but I won't because it's PG-13, this program, isn't it?
But I would say PG, actually. Because
she wouldn't
have
saw him. Anyway, but she sees a red dot.
Thank the Lord they didn't decide to go that route, or else they would have both been killed.
Because she sees a red dot in Billy Baldwin's face. And so she knows something's up.
Yeah, she's like,
okay, you gotta
So then she grabs, while they're still having sex, she grabs the gun and shoots this apparently trained Russian assassin.
Yes.
Who's had the beat on Billy Baldwin for like 5 minutes.
5 minutes
on his nether regions.
Yeah.
And then the movie goes really downhill at this point. Like, I think you should skip over.
You can't skip over because Billy Baldwin gets thrown off the train. And the next scene is they're putting Cindy Crawford on the helicopter.
Yeah.
Well, you've been trying to kill her this whole movie. Now you're like, bring her back.
Yeah.
I need to interrogate her. For what?
I know.
What are you doing? Just shoot her in the head.
She still didn't even know what was going on.
Neither she nor the audience have any idea what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
You already tried to kill her like 3-4 times. Now you're going to bring her back. I need to interrogate her.
Yeah.
Oh, this makes no freaking sense.
Yeah. So they bring them to this giant boat where it seems like I still don't understand what's going on. It involves some kind of money transfer.
Yeah, they're trying to tap the wire thing in the bottom of the ocean to.
They're trying to tap in
and transfer wire money.
They're trying to tap into the transatlantic cable.
International bank. Yeah,
It's almost like the movie was like, this makes no sense. Like, don't even try to explain it.
The funny thing is though, like he brings Cindy Crawford, and for some reason, bad guys feel compelled to tell their whole plan.
And even Cindy Crawford's character in the movie is like, wait, what? Like, even she's like,
I don't give a shit about your plan.
or understand it. Right. Yeah. What do I have to do with any of this? And William Baldwin, and one of the great things about this movie, even by the end, I'm convinced William Baldwin's character has no idea what's going on, who these Russian people are, why they're interested, what their goal is. He's just like, I just got to blow stuff up, you know?
He comes up with a great plan here, though. He takes that Russian who's dead, I guess.
Yeah, he must have brought the Russian with him.
He brought the Russian with him. He said, you're coming with me. Parks the car, calls up the bad guy.
Yep.
Knowing that he's going to be like, he's at this location, go get him. So he get the boat to get to that boat. I mean, that's his plan, I guess.
I guess.
He came up with a pretty good plan.
Nothing makes sense.
He's taking a big chance. He's rolling the dice on that one.
Yeah, so.
Is he? We don't even know what he's doing.
The bad guy sent the two to kill Billy Baldwin. They come up on the beach.
He set an elaborate trap.
Totally, shoot the shit out of the car. And, of course, it's a dead Russian in the car, not Billy. He's in the back of a pickup truck. Shoots them both.
Yep.
Walks
what
over.
What happened to the Fisher guy who was?
That was
another setup dead body. I think.
I don't know.
No, I think he's just a drunken.
Really?
Fisher guy.
I thought that was another propped up dead body.
I'm dead serious.
That's what I thought.
So the funny thing is that the Russian chick was wearing a vest. He's like, oh no.
Oh so like, yeah.
She gets up and smacks him, and you have the shot of the gun being falling on the beach. You got to establish he dropped his gun. I always love that kind of shot, his gun's on the beach. Okay, so he can't have access. But anyway, she's like a martial arts expert and kicks a bejesus out of him for like a minute and a half.
It felt like 20 minutes.
And then all of a sudden he just beats her down with a couple punches. She's like, really? She's got all these martial art, moves, and he just...
Punches her
twice. And
I was so
checked
out.
She's back in the fight,
movie. Yeah, by this point, I was done for. The realization that the Cindy Crawford character didn't even understand what her role in the movie was the point where I said, okay, if her character doesn't know what she's doing here, I'm done. Like, don't expect me to care about any of this.
So he gets to the boat.
Yeah. And he gets to the bad guy's boat.
He gets to the bad guy's boat and does away with a couple other people.
Shoots a bunch of people.
Shoots them. And the funny thing about this, when he gets on the boat, never once does he think, hey, I'm going to grab one of these automatic rifles off the dead guy and use that.
Oh, yeah. No.
Where's the guy? I'm going to get like two of them. I have two. You know, I can have a. No, I just. Yeah.
He's got endless handgun. Where's he getting all his clips? He in his underwear, too? Because he's been shooting the whole thing the whole movie.
Well, yeah. That's where he stores his guns.
Yeah.
His caboose.
And so he saves Cindy Crawford and.
The boat starts blowing up or something.
But the bad guy still wants to transfer this money. He's like, no, yeah, no, press one for English, press two for Russian, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, again, why does somebody have the boat rigged to blow up?
Why is the boat blowing up?
Why do you rig it?
Well, but I didn't even understand why it was blowing up. What was happening to the boat?
What happened was they bring Billy Baldwin to him for some reason instead of killing him again. And the guy says a couple things, then finally says, okay, kill him.
Okay.
So somehow I can't remember. He gets the gun away from him. He goes over to grab Cindy Crawford, I guess, but she kicks him, and he falls back into this device, which is a detonation device, I guess, and it starts a timer going. Remember, the device falls on the floor, and the timer like T-250.
So they have it rigged to blow. Yeah.
So they have it rigged to blow up for some reason.
Yeah, it's like
because every bad guy has to rig his lair to blow up.
Well, it's like Bride of Frankenstein. Like, why does that lever?
Yeah, blow up? Don't touch that lever.
I really, and this is the worst insult I can think of for this movie. Raul Julia's plan in Street Fighter,
strip mall plan,
made way more sense than what was going on in this movie. Yeah. And that's the craziest bad guy plot I think we've seen. At least in that one, I was like, oh, he wants to build a giant mall.
It was great because as his boat blowing up, the computer's like. Just all now, all you have to do is choose the currency you want.
And he's like, no!
Press one for British.
Yeah. And he's like,
two for pounds.
They make it clear that he's waiting for the American one.
He's got to wait for the American one.
Why does it matter what denomination the money is?
What's it say?
Just press the first button and jump off the.
It says something about American. It says, and he had to wait longer because his American currency had to wait for something else to happen.
Like an operator.
Yeah, he waited for an operator. It's like, oh my God, that's too funny.
So they get off the boat. Like, Cindy Crawford and William Baldwin get off the boat. The bad guy, the boat blows up. Oh, he's still waiting for, I guess, a money transfer.
He's waiting
to
for
come
the operator.
Through.
He's waiting for the operator to come online.
Yeah, for an operator.
May I help
the
you,
boat's
going
to blow up in like 10 seconds.
Think he's about that for a second.
I don't need you to juggle money in this. I got right now. Okay. And he jumps off. I mean,
you're the main bad guy. How do I die? Well, you're going to die while you're waiting for an operator because the touch tone feature isn't working.
And you're
going
to get blown up by a boat that you've rigged to blow up for no discernible reason.
No reason.
And then at the end, so Cindy Crawford and William Baldwin escape. They get to some other boat. And
they're on
like
a raft in the water. Like,
oh, yeah.
This is a fun movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? Who cut the raft loose?
Who knows?
Who knows? It was sitting next to the boat.
I have no idea. And then she gets this like little witty like button kind of joke like, ah, you just sank my client's boat. And William Baldwin actually kind of looks at her blankly like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know. You're a lawyer? I don't
saved
you know.
Your life.
How am I going to repay you?
Yeah. How does your client's boat have anything to do with this movie that we've just been in? So
it would have been
stupid.
It would have been better if she looked at him and said, what just happened?
Yeah.
Who were those guys?
Yeah. Why were they interested in us at all?
Right.
This is the first movie we've ever seen, but by the end, the hero still does not know why the bad guys are interested in him. It's like a Hitchcock thriller.
Billy Baldwin, he didn't get explained to him.
He still
not
knows
at all.
Nothing.
Right.
So before we get to this week's This Wrong It's Right question, just a little trivia on this movie. This movie went through an extensive re-edit.
You can tell there's certain edits there. You're like, facial expressions don't match some things. And
yeah.
Joel Silver pressured Cindy Crawford to, the producer, Joel Silver, pressured Cindy Crawford to do this movie. Cindy Crawford, she says, and I guess people have agreed, that she was initially hesitant, said, I'm not an actress. And Joel Silver was like, no, you should do this movie. You know, your people know who you are. I don't even want to make his case for what it was. But when they were in editing, they realized they had a serious problem. So they went back and dramatically re-edited it. Apparently this is amazing to me, taking out a lot of Cindy Crawford's dialogue.
They took out, there's more?
Yeah, apparently there was a lot more, wow. Which I'm guessing is why those Dan Hedaya scenes must probably have been cut, because that must have just been pure dialogue with Cindy Crawford.
All that must have explained the bad guy's plot.
And it must have explained, but apparently they realized, I don't know how they only realized this in post-production, but they realized in post-production that this was a serious issue. So it got cut down. It got, apparently Joel Silver and Cindy Crawford got in a huge tiff over this, and things got ugly. And as this was going on, before the movie had been seen, word of this re-edit was getting around town. So in an article in The New Yorker, an unnamed studio source gave this quote. So again, no one had seen the movie at this point. This is speaking about how Cindy Crawford's dialogue was being cut down. Quote, "Is she doing less than what was scripted? Yes. But she'll pull it off because Joel crafted it that way. He did the same thing for Sandra Bullock in Demolition Man. And look at her now." Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That, it's a good thing that person didn't put the name on that soundbite, because they would probably really be in trouble for that.
That was Joel Silver, by the way.
Yeah. So, you know, and basically, I don't think Cindy... I mean, Cindy Crawford sort of has acted since then, but not in, like, a major... Well, she showed up on, like, TV shows. She had, like, a couple of, like, small supporting roles and, like, smaller independent... I mean, nothing on a big scale. And there's also a great bit. I stumbled across this while I was looking for a So Wrong, It's Right question. William Baldwin, in an interview, said that one of the bigger controversies in this film was he was told to wear a watch that wasn't right for his character and refused to wear it. Really?
Wow.
If you were worried about the watch you were wearing, I think there was a lot. You had much bigger fish to fry this, William Baldwin. If you're picking your battles, I would leave the watch alone. And
I wonder why they didn't just use Selma Hayek as the lead and not Cindy Crawford.
I mean, it would make sense. It's Miami.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Selma
Hayek. She's an actress.
Selma Hayek was virtually unknown at this time.
Still, this could have been her breakout role.
She's much better in her two scenes than.
Yeah.
And she's very attractive, yes.
Yeah, and she's great. Well, it's funny because Selma Hayek kind of burst onto the scene just a year or two later, you know, in Desperado. And
I think she's
hotter than Cindy Crawford. Absolutely.
Yeah, she's...
That's a major compliment, Cindy Crawford.
Well, I think this is sort of from that era. I mean, I guess they still do it now to a degree, but I don't know if they do it on the big budget movie where everyone knew who Cindy Crawford was. She had great name recognition, so it was like, just put her in this movie.
And they always think that's going to work, and it never does.
It never does.
Very rarely does.
I'm just trying to put think a name of a case in there, where it did.
People are going, I got to go see that because Cindy Crawford's in it. They don't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I just popped in my head, like, The Rock, when he started doing movies. The first time he was in a movie, I was like, whoa, why is The Rock in a movie? But now he's an actor. He does movies.
Yeah. That's true. Actually, The Rock does.
Sometimes it works out, but...
That's a little different, because pro wrestlers, in a way, are already actors.
Well, and
so there's
Rock,
something to be said about that. Well, there's showmanship in pro wrestling.
He probably wanted to act, too.
Yeah, but I think they put him in his element. Like, if you put Cindy Crawford in a movie about modeling,
right?
Maybe it would have been like, okay.
That didn't work for Glitter.
And just funny note, too. Apparently, in an earlier cut of the movie, there were also some story structure problems. And it wasn't revealed that Cindy Crawford was a lawyer until an hour and 10 minutes into the movie. I don't even know how that's possible.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
How would you advance a plot not knowing that she's a lawyer?
By the way, I'm a lawyer.
Well, yeah, also like, you're a lawyer?
I don't even know. Why'd you tell me that?
Can I ask, why is this movie called Fair Game?
This is an interesting question. So I'm going to bring this up. We actually have two So Wrong It's Right questions. The first one is, this is based on a novel. And this is not the only movie that has been based on this novel. I'm going to give you a hint. A Sylvester Stallone movie is also based on same book that this movie is based on.
Oh, no.
Does anyone know what
it is? I have a strong suspicion.
Stop my mom.
Is it Cobra?
It is Cobra. It's Cobra. I don't know.
I never saw Cobra.
It's awful.
It's terrible.
It's awesome.
How's that based on the same book? I mean,
I think it's very loose. I think it's very loose.
Well,
because I know the box art for Cobra, and it,
the Cobra
like,
well,
anything like fair game.
There's a funny story in Cobra. Cobra's
like Stallone's commando.
It really has very little to do with the book. In fact, Stallone went to the author of the book afterwards and wanted to have the authorship, have his name listed as an author of the book. And whereas the author of the book was like, no, I wrote this book. You adapted it, but the book is still the book. Like, that does not how that works. Yeah. So, all right, this is this week's So Wrong It's Right question. Andrew Sipes, who directed this film...
Never worked again. Oh, he didn't? Okay.
No, he never worked again. And not only that, but had never directed
a movie
before this. This is his first and only effort as a director. He had only worked as a writer before this.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to give you a couple of options for what was probably his best known credit prior to making this movie.
Was it Cobra?
Well, okay. It was either, was he, he was a, he wrote, he's written a total of 4 episodes of TV shows in his life before making his movie. That's the extent of his Hollywood career. Yeah. Before and
he wrote 4 episodes and then directed.
And then directed a $50 million movie.
Wow, and that's it. Like he didn't do anything before that. He wasn't like a grip or anything.
No, he had written producer? 4 episodes of TV shows.
He must have known somebody.
And then made this movie, and then that was it. So I'm gonna say, what was the TV show job? I'm gonna give you a couple of options. His probably most notable TV show job is gonna be in with these.
Facts of Life.
Well, hold on. An episode of Murder, She Wrote. An episode of The Golden Girls.
Oh no.
An episode of Simon and Simon.
Oh god.
That was a good show.
An episode of Knight Rider.
I'm just saying.
An episode of MacGyver. One of those is his most notable credit.
Those last two make the most sense.
I'm assuming
it's not one of those.
I'm going to say Knight Rider, but my rationale of choosing that is going to probably make it wrong, but I'm choosing it anyway.
Simon makes sense, but it's got to be something really goofy. Like,
I'm going to say Golden Girls.
I was going to say Golden Girls. What was the first one you said?
Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, I'm leaning towards that one, too. But because Golden Girls would be so much different. I'm going to go with Golden Girls.
All right, 2 Golden Girls and Golden a Knight Rider. Andy's instincts right. Simon and Simon.
Oh, was it?
I'm going to read you. This
but
is
that makes
his,
kind of little sense.
We don't know what we can do. I'm going to read his full filmography. Right now, he wrote an episode of a TV show called Street Justice in 1991, a show I've never heard of.
Okay.
He wrote 1 episode of Spencer for Hire, the Robert Urich show, in 1988. He wrote 1 episode of The Equalizer in 1986.
Okay.
And in 1986, he wrote an episode of Simon and Simon. This is his entire filmography.
And then gets it directed.
He did like a $50 million movie with
Cindy Crawford. Reason why I thought it was Knight Rider is because the review quote on the back of the box, sexy, exciting, and fun, is attributed to the Knight Rider Tribune News Group.
Which is
why I chose Knight Rider.
I knew it was wrong, but I had to choose
it anyway.
I don't know how. He doesn't work in the business now. He runs an internet company.
I was going to say a pizza shop.
You know, but
was he like moonlighting? Did he like have another job and thought, it might be fun to write for TV? Why not?
I really researched this. I cannot find how he.
You didn't read his biography?
His bio was very limited. I actually almost called him at his internet company. I was going to like see if he could be a guest, but I was like, oh, God, we can't. Not with like this, how we're going to rip this movie apart.
Fly in.
Well, like just do like a phoner or something, you know, but I was like, oh. That's one of the crazier Hollywood backgrounds. Wrote 4 TV show episodes in the 80s, and then in the mid-90s, directing a $50 million Joel Silver film for Warner Brothers. I know.
Yeah, but directing-wise, I mean, who wanted Cindy Crawford?
Well, but then, you know? I think the whole point is if you're going to do a movie with Cindy Crawford, who's not an actress,
right.
Well, you probably have somebody, should have right. a pretty
but, I mean, was
experienced
that forced
director.
On him, like, hey, we got you Cindy Crawford, or was it his pick?
Oh, definitely. I mean, Joel Silver was definitely the driving force in
right.
this movie.
Right, so that's kind of like, well.
But you would still say, I mean, this
I,
was.
I think the fault lays more with him than the director.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I agree. But know? I mean, but that's what I'm saying. The fault is with Joel Silver for not putting a real. a real director or an established director on this,
or somebody who established actor to help the director.
That would have helped
learn.
Too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anything would have.
So
helped.
I can't really give this guy.
It's hard. It's also hard to be too hard on him. I mean, he wasn't an experienced director. Right. He was being told Cindy Crawford is your lead.
Right.
Yeah, obviously the script.
Billy Baldwin's
issues.
Freaking out about his watch.
Yeah, refuse to wear that watch. Look, I'll do a lot of things, but we got to draw the line somewhere. I heard once that Meatloaf song, I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. It's based on William Baldwin as when watches.
Got it.
So that brings, I think, brings this episode to a close.
What was the name of the book that the movie is based on?
I think the book is called Fair Game.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Again, it doesn't make much sense, but...
No.
I mean...
Sure, in the book it probably does.
Maybe it does, yeah. Somebody says...
It's a pretty popular book to have two movies based on it.
Yeah. To have two big budget adaptations.
Of course, they're both horrible, but...
Yeah. Yeah. We have some spectacular, terrible movies coming up in the weeks ahead. So we'll do our quick normal plugs. As always, like our Facebook page, Stop the Movie. I Want to Get Out. You get... hilarious screenshots from each of our films and great synopses, which you can also read the synopses on our synopses.
I always say synopsis because
yeah.
Remember, did I tell you a story? My cousin.
He said something like that.
Brian's a great guy. We were talking one time about movies. Like, did you read the synopsis on that new movie? Like, synopsis?
Yeah, he's also in this, says he's going to put a Netflix. He calls it the Quay.
Oh,
put a movie by Netflix.
My Quay. Quay.
Okay.
Well, and you can read those synopses or synopses on our website, stopthemoviepodcast.podbean.com. I laugh every week when the synopsis is published. There has not been one yet that has not made me laugh out loud.
It's a lot of pressure.
I know. Well, I always think that. I'm like, oh, one of these days. I'm like, oh, one of them I'll be like, oh, that's amusing, but I won't actually laugh. And then every week I laugh.
Well, the ones on the site I write. The ones on Facebook I do.
And they're actually, I think I've also laughed out loud at every screenshot we've posted for one of these. Because they all bring back, like, hilariously insane moments from these movies. So like us on Facebook. Would love to get reviews on iTunes or even just a star review. And
or just a podcast reviewing our podcast reviews.
Oh, that's what we need. This needs to get more meta. You know, we need a podcast that looks at this podcast talking about.
We should do an after show.
That's true.
Where we talk about
an after show behind the scenes.
His love for the sex scene. And...
Yeah.
Man, that was good.
Yeah, or
she wouldn't have seen him then.
a second podcast about women Andy Wolf may be starting a fan club for. You can follow some of us on Twitter, Jack.
Yep, at Jack Esterbrook.
Cody
A. Wolf.
And at Wind Up Films.
And at AOL for...
Uh-huh. At AOL.
.com. Okay. This is .com.
And you actually have to type it in. First, HTTP.
I don't go that far. I still do www. He makes fun of me. I still put
www.
Well, I do, and that's what no one knows I do.
Well, you want to make sure you're getting the AOL, the World Wide Web version of
right.
AOL.
Right, yeah,
you don't want that other, you know...
Shortcut.
I do know someone who's worse, though, who I work with, who will Google every website he goes to. He'll just go to Google first and then type in the website in Google and search it that way. I always make fun of that.
I'm waiting till it becomes like cool for hipsters to use like retro search engines. I'm just waiting for that day.
Come back.
Yeah, or like, you know, Yahoo like suddenly like has this big resurgence as a search engine. People are like, hey, man, like, got to break out of the mainstream. Or an analog search. Someone's going to build some kind of steampunk analog search engine.
Just pull a lever and these numbers spin.
I don't know what that means.
All right, we'll explain that to you off mic. It'll take too long.
After show, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. So we'll be back soon. More terrible movies. And we'll see everyone but Andy on Twitter. All right, bye.